Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for this opportunity, Father, just to share your heart. Lord, just remove all of me and just fill me with you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. I wanted to pray that because I've got so many things running through my head that I just trust in the Lord it's going to make sense. I was talking just right before TC and Ashley and I on how it just feels like a weird season right now. And for me, it's felt really weird because the past 22 years in this season, I'm getting a classroom ready, I'm getting a school ready, and the Lord has changed that season. And my heart is so excited for the season He has before me, but I found myself struggling with the season that was but is no more. And it's just this weird emotional place. And so I've really just been talking to the Lord about it because I know I don't want to stay stuck in a moment of wishing I was here, but glad I'm here, if that kind of makes sense. And so I've really, Peter has been the one, and I talked about this yesterday with Bishop. He did share some of what I'm going to share. He stole part of my sermon. No. But I've been just really studying Peter, thinking about Peter. Peter's used 2,000 years later. The biggest example is he denied Jesus 3 times. And most people stop there with Peter. You know that he denied Jesus and then that was it. That's where we use Peter. But before that, before he ever denied him, you know, Peter said his heart was, his flesh was, Lord, I will never deny you. I will never, I love you so much, Lord, I'll never walk this out. And this is what Jesus said to him before it ever happened. Peter, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat. And I have given him permission, but Peter, I have prayed for you that your faith will not fail. And when you have turned again, that you will strengthen your brothers. And I'm not saying anything new that we haven't been hearing, but it just hit me that before Peter ever acted out his flesh, the Lord had spoken a word over him that, Peter, I have prayed for you, and I have faith that when you turn, the Lord knew that he would turn. The Lord knew Peter wasn't going to be stuck in that moment. And it says that when Peter denied him for the third time, he looked at the face of Jesus and he left and wept bitterly. And so I've really just been talking to the Lord because so many times, and you go to conferences and stuff, and it's like Peter wept bitterly for regret. I believe it was all true. Regret, the shame the enemy put on him, you know, the fear, all the things that the enemy piles on us emotionally. I can only imagine in that moment how terrible he felt because his flesh was willing, but man, his spirit failed when he knew it wasn't going to fall. And that's when we're so vulnerable and the enemy comes in, and it's in here where he attacks. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy, not this chair. He doesn't want to take this chair. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy on the inside. If he can get here on the inside, then he's got the grip. And so I believe when Peter left and wept bitterly, not only was he weeping for himself, but also the last thing he saw was the face of Jesus. And, you know, like when my kids do something wrong, they don't always see the face of Jesus when I'm getting onto them. You know, like it's usually the face of mom, which is that's another story, my problem. But Peter saw the face of Jesus. And so I just started reading scriptures. What is Jesus? He's love. He's mercy, he's grace, he's compassion. And in that moment where Peter's weeping bitterly, I believe he has this encounter where he remembers Jesus saying, Peter, I have faith for you. And when you turn, Peter, you're going to turn. Peter, dig deep, Peter. Don't stay in this place. And all he could see was the face of Jesus and see his love and feel his love and feel his grace and feel his mercy. And so part of what I want to say is when the enemy piles it on, because he does, and I've been in a weird season to where so excited, but yet being hit with all these emotions of, you know, what I thought it would look like. Peter thought, he even said, I will not deny you. He thought it was going to look one way, but now it looks completely a different way. And I found myself just in that same place of thinking It's supposed to look one way, but now it looks a different way. It looks his way, right? Because Bishop and I were talking yesterday, it doesn't say where I am, he is there also. It says where he is, I am there also. So if Christ is in me and I'm in him, then if I start walking in the way I think it looks, well, there I am, but there he is not. You know, the way it looks for him is where he is and there I am. And so I'm getting to it with Peter. So Peter, I believe he didn't stay stuck in a moment very long at all, because not long after that, I was reading this morning when he saw Jesus for the third time, you know, they were fishing in the boat, wasn't catching anything, didn't know it was Jesus. Jesus said, throw out your nets, and they caught all these fish and they're like, oh man, that's Jesus. Well, you know, he said, come here, and all the guys start rowing the boat. But what does Peter do? Peter jumps in and swims after him. And John even said, we were only a short distance to shore, so we came in the boat. But man, Peter's heart, Peter knew. He didn't want any separation. And there was Jesus, and he didn't have time to row a boat. He had to surrender and jump in and give everything. And that was in when Peter was, it says, around 20 or 30, when all of this happened. And then you go to 1 Peter, and I don't know exactly when it was written. I Googled it. Peter died, it says, somewhere in his middle 60s, and 1 Peter was written not long before then. But Peter writes this, and it's just blown me away. Not that I didn't know it, not that I didn't hear it, but I'm seeing it in a whole new way on the inside out. And Peter says this, but greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible, full of glory. What in the world is inexpressible joy? Joy so great that you can't even put words to it, full of glory. Well, it says, we went to the Motion Conference this, took the youth to the Motion Conference. One of my chaperones is a young girl in her 20s, and on the way there, she said, you know what, Roxanne, I've been thinking about? That Jesus says we're to move from glory to glory, and I want to do that, but how is it possible? And I thought, Mary Reeves, man, that's such a good question. And yet it is possible. He wouldn't have said we're to move from glory to glory to glory. It's an everyday moment. But then Peter said, and we just started looking at 1 Peter, driving the van full of kids down 280 where it's crazy traffic everywhere, that Peter said, greatly rejoice with inexpressible joy, full of glory. Man, when we surrender and he's in us and we're in him and we sit back and let him be in control, then what is produced on the inside is the fruit of the Spirit. And we know what the fruit of the Spirit is, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. But it's not just those things. It is full of glory. It is love inexpressible. Well, what does inexpressible love look like? What the Lord showed me is, like, I dealt with a situation not too long ago where somebody really hurt my feelings, really hurt my feelings. And how I wanted to respond was to fire back and not fire back mean, but I just wanted to justify why they're not right, because I believe they were not right. And the Lord just reminded me what Bishop has been saying, love them more. Love them more. Pray for them more. And so the Lord's just been speaking, Roxanne, the fruit of the Spirit is not just so you can have love, so that you can experience in every moment and every day inexpressible love. Love so great that I can't even explain to you what it is in this moment full of glory, moving from glory to glory. Inexpressible self-control, where your flesh is screaming, this is how it should be, but yet you go, no, I'm not in the driver's seat. I have the hands, I have the feet, I have the mouth, but it's he who is in me is greater than me. And so, Lord, where you go, I'll go. What you say, I'll say. What you'll do, I'll do. This path is the path that you have said. This is the path. So I don't want another path. So what comes out of that when we sit back and we're in union with him, but yet make choices to let him express that in us is inexpressible love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. So I'm really excited about this. I was sharing it last night with my Bible study group, which is a bunch of my old youth group who are now young adults. So it's really fun because they're sharing what the Lord's sharing with them, and I'm sharing what the Lord's sharing with me. And so I'm sharing this, and we're talking about we can walk in inexpressible joy, inexpressible love, inexpressible patience at all time. And one of them, she was sitting back, she was real quiet, just pondering, and she spoke up and she said, man, that's the word of the Lord for me. Because I was driving my car today saying, Lord, I'm wanting to run with you. I'm wanting to run after you. My heart is ablaze to do it, but I feel like I'm trying to be a good soldier and I just can't do it. And she went, I don't have to be the good soldier. All I have to do is sit back and go, no, Christ in me is going to rule and reign in this situation. And like Peter, fling myself towards everything that Jesus has called me to be. Not wait to row that boat, but just go after it with full abandonment and open my mouth when he says, open it. And when things don't look the way I think they should look, to go, oh man, inexpressible patience for this situation, inexpressible joy. That's such patience that I can't even tell you how good it is, full of glory. And as Mary Reeves and I were talking, I was like, Mary Reeves, I mean, that I'm sure it's not all of it, but how do we move from glory to glory to glory? Because that's what he calls us to do, is simply letting Jesus take the wheel, letting Jesus have control, and letting me sit back and Christ who's in me take over. Because this weekend we heard a lot about the resurrection, and it's really good, but so many people stop at the cross. He didn't just die for us. He wrapped himself in us. He took on everything, wrapped himself in all of our humanity. So there's not one emotion, not one thing that we're called to face that he hasn't already conquered. Not so that I will rule and reign with him one day in heaven, so that I can experience that here on earth in every single moment. So this is burning in my heart. And this morning, my three-year-old was wild and crazy and wasn't obeying, and I was starting to lose it. And I heard the Lord say, Roxanne, I'm not frustrated with Jordan, and you can either choose to be, and your flesh is going to take over, or you can choose not to be frustrated with me, and I'm going to give you wisdom and discernment on how to do this. And I thought, man, because the other day, Monday, I'm not going to tell you the whole story, but my boys were really cutting up, and it was terrible, and I did not make the choice to not be frustrated. I made the choice to be frustrated, and I'm just going to tell you, everybody was miserable, and it wasn't their fault. It was mine. It started with me. I can't control if my kids have attitudes. I can't control what Father Bob says, but man, I can control my reaction to the situation. And either I'm in him and he's in me, and I'm sitting back and I'm going to open my mouth when he says open. I'm going to choose to join him and not be frustrated, not be angry, not be whatever the emotion is. And when I make those choices, what comes out of me is inexpressible love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and moving every moment from glory to glory. And I'm going to end with this. At the end of the Bible study last night, one of the girls said, man, I want that, but my flesh is really weak. And I said, I'm so glad you said that. Because in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, I said, memorize it. Put it on your mirror. My grace is sufficient. We have his grace for everything we do in every moment. For his power is perfected in my weakness. The only thing he needs is my weakness. And I can give him my weakness. I'm really good at having weakness, right? And he says his power is perfected and manifested in my weakest moment, the thing I struggle with the most. And she went, man, that's just so freeing. And I'm like, yes, it is. It's so freeing, and it's so much fun to walk with the Lord, not just walk with the Lord, but walk in union with him. I'm in him, but he's in me. And it's no longer I who live, speak, or do, but Christ in me. And I only want to go where he goes. I only want to do what he does. And one of my biggest struggles is control. And the Lord, I didn't realize the depth until recently. And I'm in a situation where I no longer have control. I'm sending my kids to a place that I know the Lord's called them to be, but they were in a place with me where I had all control. And the Lord, he just spoke it so clear to me this morning, Roxanne, if I'm sending them, then that's where they're called to be. And I'm in them and they're in me and they're walking out my path. And therefore you are too. And I don't need your control. I just need your weakness. And I'm going to perfect my power in that. Anyway, I hope that makes sense. A lot of different things running through my head
Amen.